Well, Larry, good afternoon. Thank you all for coming back. I'm always delighted to have a good group after lunch for economic session. So very delighted to have you all. For any of you who may not know me, my name is John Devine. I'm an economist with Cotton Incorporated. For those of you who've been coming to Beltwide for the past several years, you'll probably know me as something of an oddball. I hope all that has to do with context, and that's the fact that even though this is a production conference, I always insist on talking about demand. So today is going to be no different. Today what I'm going to be discussing with you are some models of U.S. end-use consumption. What that mouthful means is that we're going to be talking about the bale equivalents used by U.S. consumers. The reason why we're going to be talking about the U.S., first of all, is because we have pretty good data. We are able to convert imports of apparel products back into their bale equivalents. So that's a primary reason why we're doing the U.S. But a follow-up reason, if you take a look at the U.S., we are really important when you think about end-use. So in the U.S., we are blessed with relatively high incomes, and even though our population represents only about 4% of the world's total, we do end up consuming about 20% of all the cotton in use form. So with that, I'll go ahead and get started. We'll begin just by taking a look at a chart of U.S. end use of cotton consumption. So this is the bale equivalents of cotton contained by U.S. apparel imports. You take a look at those data over recent history, and you'll see, unfortunately, that we have seen some relatively important declines. Take a look at where we were in the latest full calendar year of 2014. We were down about 25% compared to where we were back in 2006, 2007. So some relatively important decreases, once again, when you start thinking about how important U.S. is for global consumption. When you take a look at these declines, one way you may be explaining it is, okay, that has to do with loss in share, particularly when you take a look at some of the changes that occurred after 2010, 2011, and I would agree with that statement, but I would also like to follow it up with a chart that shows us the bale equivalents of apparel imports of all fibers. So this is the bale equivalents of cotton apparel imports, plus polyester imports, plus viscose imports, whatever you might have. We take a look at those numbers, and we can see you've had a decrease of about 8% compared to where we were back in 2006, 2007. So yes, share can help explain some of the declines we're seeing in cotton end use in the U.S., but there's also something else going on because total end use of all fibers also down compared to where we've been over the past several years. Think about reasons why that might be. You can think about the macro economy, things as much as we would like in recent years. But if you take a look at consumer spending on just garments, we've seen some really strong growth, particularly over the past year, year and a half. Look at consumer apparel spending. In recent months, relative to where we were back in 2006, 2007, when we had those peak import periods, we're up by about 13%. So we've got a pretty wide separation between the decreases we have in bale equivalents and the increases we have in spending. So that's some of the motivation for this work, something we've been working on for the past couple years. What I want to focus your attention on right now is just the numbers that we have between total bale equivalents and spending. Just take a look at those two figures. We've got a gap of about 20 percentage points. So the question is, how can we explain that gap? Since I am presenting to a bunch of economists, I'm going to take liberty of talking about some data. So you take a look at our imports, we're talking about bale equivalents, we're essentially units. You take a look at our spending data, we're talking about changes in dollar terms. So if you have a change in price per unit, that can help explain some of that gap. But if you take a look at the changes that we've had in retail prices over the past couple years, they've only gone up by about 6%. So that can help close that gap somewhat, but we've still got about 15 percentage point difference between our import volumes and our spending. So how can we explain that? One of the ways we've been trying to do that is through a new database. Essentially what we've been doing is reinventing a wheel that both the USDA and also the National Cotton Council have developed, which allows us to take a look at the bale equivalents of products. The reason why we wanted to have that internally is so we can play with it and take a much closer look at what's going on at the individual product level. In that database, you have attributes not only for weight or bale equivalents, but we also have unit counts, and we also have the value of the imports as well. With that database, we can derive a series of new variables to help get a better idea about what's going on with end-use consumption, help explain that gap that we have between spending and bale equivalents of import volumes. When we've done that, one important variable that we've identified is some of the changes that have been going on in average weights for different products between 2006, 2007, and the present. Take a look at t-shirts on average. They've gotten more than 10% lighter over the past several years. Other knit shirts, they've gotten about 15% lighter. Take a look at jeans, they've gotten about 12% lighter. And you take a look at other bottoms, they've got about 14% lighter. So you take a look at all these import categories, you probably identify them as being relatively important. And when you run the numbers on it, these categories represent about half of the bale equivalents of all U.S. cotton imports. So we had these 10 to 15% decreases in weight. You can think that's going to start up affecting end-use demand in the U.S., and that is something that has occurred. When we sum up the effects of changes in product weights over the past couple years and compare that to the changes we've seen related to the effects of cotton share, we actually see the impact of cotton weight being more dramatic, being a little bit higher than it is for share. So another important factor we've been able to identify using this new database tool. For those of you who've been around for the past couple years, you've been hearing me talk about this for the past couple years at Beltwide. So you may be asking, that's great, John, but do you have anything new to show us? And the answer is yes, I do. And what we do have are some new ways that we can measure these effects in weights. So something that we've been working on is deriving some indexes to help aggregate the changes in apparel weight across products. And we did this in a couple of different ways. The first of those is what we're calling a naive index of average product weight, which is simply the sum of total weight of apparel divided by the count of apparel items, which of course gives the average weight in the given month. We multiply that month by our base time period reason for our index, which is 2006-2007, scale it up to 100, that gives us an index of changes in product weight. We also developed an alternative approach that we're calling a weighted index of average product weight. I'll try and say that a couple of times fast. I hope you guys can bear with me, even though it gets to be a little bit wordy. But essentially what we're doing with this weighted index is we're really trying to zoom in on the changes in different product weights. So you take a look at our naive index, and we could have some switching across categories. So you may be having more imports of yoga pants that could be weighing about 1 pound and fewer imports of jeans that are around 2 pounds. So that's something that would show up on our naive index, but it may be not something that we want to focus in on completely. We may want to pay attention to more purely what's going on in terms of the changes in product weights. So that's what we're doing with this weighted index. The way that we derived that index was to get the category share for the most recent year. So we went through 2014. And in 2014, we took a look at all 2,000 apparel product import categories and identified what proportion of the total that they represented. Step two was independent of that. We created individual index for each of those individual 2,000 apparel product categories with base time period, once again, being a 2006-2007 time period. We weighted each of those individual indexes by our shares, summed that, and that gives us our weighted index of average product values. Once again, we think this is important because it may give us a more pure representation of changes in average product weights. Here we can take a look at those two variables. Take a look at our naive index. This is for all fibers. This is products containing cotton, polyester, viscose. Take a look at those in our naive formulation. We can see that we've dropped an average weight by about 15% relative to what we were back in 2006-2007. So that's the reason why we can have some of that growth in spending and have some decrease in bale equivalents of all fiber imports. We can compare the change that we've seen in our weighted index to that, our naive index, what we've seen in our weighted index, and we do see some separation there. So what we are seeing is some category shifting, some shifting to lighter product categories causing that separation we have between these two different time series. So these are for all fibers. We'll take a look at what's going on with cotton. We see our naive index and our weighted index moving a little bit more closely, and we see those tracking relatively tightly with our weighted index of all fibers. In addition to our index that we have developed with respect to average product weights, we can also play with our variables a little bit more to take a look at what's going on in terms of average cost per pound. Here we've got similar formulations with our naive index, which is total value divided by total sum of weight. You can see changes there in cost per pound basis, something that could be useful for some of analyses of pass-through that we've discussed here in the past. We also can do a weighted representation. We see a much wider separation here than we saw in our average product weight series. Some of that's probably due to the skewness in terms of value across different products. With us having higher counts of less valued items, that's causing the wide divergence that you're seeing there. Take a look at our indexes of cotton values. We also see a similar pattern with figures pretty much tracking what we see for overall apparel markets. The reason why we wanted to do all the trouble of deriving these indexes was because we get into a model to help explain things a little bit better. Essentially, what we have is two different sets of models that we're looking at. Those sets are driven by different dependent variables, one of those being for all fiber imports, another one being for cotton imports. To help explain some of the changes we're seeing in our import bale equivalents of imports, we have our weight indexes. Of course, we have those two I just discussed. We have our import prices that I just discussed. On top of that, we want to take a look at what's going on in terms of different fiber prices and how that may be potentially having a lagged effect on apparel imports. Then we've got a whole slew of macroeconomic variables, including all the suspects you would expect, like consumer spending on apparel, consumer prices for apparel and for energy, income and savings variables, as well as consumer confidence and retail store inventories. The way that we helped, the way that we derived these models was by first taking a look at descriptive statistics, primarily focused in on what's going on with correlations. Here we've got the correlation between our all fiber imports and our weight index for all fibers. That peaked with a correlation of about 73% with no lag relative to imports. Not something you would expect because you take a look at changes in weight. It's really definitional in terms of what's going on with changes in imports. Take a look at what's going on with some of the other variables. Take a look at our prices. Our naive index really didn't have any significance, even in terms of just correlations. Our weight index had a slight one. Fiber price, we see a little bit better explanatory ability there, at least on a binary case. This China adjusted cotton price compensates for some of the differences between Chinese prices and our world cotton prices over the past few years. We've got our macroeconomic variables. You can see our CPI values showing up pretty strongly. We also see savings rates and consumer confidence also appearing as having some significance. These are variables that we carried forward into our regression approach. In our regression approach, here I just took those variables and put them all on one side. There's the same ones you had in the previous table. Take a look at the significance of those. We had in a competitive framework, we just dropped the least significant variable on each iteration. This is what we're left with the primary explanatory variables we've got being those related to average product weight, those related to import prices as opposed to fiber prices. We also see consumer confidence and also clothing store inventories having predictive ability in terms of taking a look at total bale equivalents of all fiber imports. Take a look at our adjusted our square value. We only got to a level about 80%. Not terrible, not great. Really quickly, just going through, so I'm running out of time, what we did for cotton. Essentially the same approach. These are the variables we included. We had a few extras that we threw in there, including cotton share and also some ratios of cotton prices compared to man-made prices. See the correlations there a little bit weaker than we saw in our previous table of correlations for our total fiber imports. These are the ones we carried through to our regressions. Going through to our regressions, we take a look at the variables that ended up being most significant. Weight, once again, showed up as being significant determinant. Import prices, the ratio turned to end up being more significant than the price level. Fiber price variables dropped out. And then our macroeconomic, we see apparel, energy having some significance as well as consumer confidence. Take a look at our adjusted R-square here, though, we're a little bit less happy. Something that's been a challenge for us in Cotton Incorporated has been modeling end-use consumption in the U.S. for some time. And even though we were able to identify some new tools that will help us get some more explanation with respect to the volume of imports, we're still not at a really high level. So, just wrap everything up really quickly. We have a new database that's helped us create some new variables that are significant in terms of explaining what's going on in terms of end use. We do have plenty of room to help improve our explanatory ability. We haven't included any dummy variables. We haven't taken a look at the role of essentially changing the time period is affecting that. I know a lot of you here in this room also have some experience modeling on demand side. If you do have any suggestions, they certainly will be welcome. Thank you.
Any questions? John, were you talking about cotton share? Is that their market share?
Yes, that'd be cotton share of apparel on a weight basis, a bale equivalence basis. So the USDA, they did a lot of homework a couple years ago, and what they did is they created some conversion factors. These conversion factors will bring you from an imported value for jeans, and it'll tell you how much raw fiber is contained in there. So it compensates for weight, and is based on average product weight. It includes weight. Yep. Right. So if I can just flip back really quickly. The bad news is we've identified another source of bad news for us in terms of demand side. But the good news is that things aren't getting any worse. So you take a look at this chart of what's going on in terms of aggregate movement and product weights. You can see things really started flattening out in 2014. We've even seen some recovery going into 2015. It depends on which market you're looking at. So the most important market, you take a look at China. We've got cotton prices, 90 plus cents per pound. We've got polyester prices in China, about half that. So that's a challenge that we're facing because China remains the world's apparel factory. The most important apparel factory. All right. Thank you guys very much.